So I'm just waiting to be up here.
Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker.
But anyway, so
for more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
So this morning, we're going to talk about being blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed this morning? What does it mean to be blessed by God this morning? Well, the word blessed can be used in a couple different ways. The word blessed can be used, one of the ways that we can use the word blessed, or one of the ways that that word is used in Scripture, is used to describe how we react to God. Right? How we react to God. We can bless God, right? And the word that is used, okay, for that understanding of the word bless is the word barak. And that means to praise, to salute, or to kneel. So it is this idea that we are blessing God through our praise, through saluting, and through kneeling and showing him honor and who he is through our blessing to him. Well, there's another way that we can use that word, right? There's another way that we can use the word blessing, and that is to describe what God does for us. So we can look at the word blessing and say, okay, God is going to bless me. God is going to bless my life. God is going to do these things for me. And the word that we use for that understanding, especially in the New Testament, is called eulogeo. Eulogeo. And basically, the meaning of that is to cause to prosper, to make happy, or to bestow blessings on. So that is the word that we get the English word eulogy, because when we use the word eulogy, when we use that word, we're trying to describe what we're doing to someone. We are usually bestowing blessings on someone during a eulogy. So, and I can safely say probably this morning that everyone in my hearing voice, right, we all want to be blessed, right, this morning? Does anyone not want to be blessed this morning? No, I didn't think so. Does everyone want to prosper this morning? Does everyone want to be happy this morning? God wants to do these things for us this morning. He wants to do these things for us this morning. And we're going to kind of dive into the parameters and the way that he does it through Proverbs 3. If there's nothing you take away from this morning, I want you to take away this one thing, if nothing else, that God desires to prosper us, to bring happiness and fulfillment and contentment in our lives. That is his desire for us this morning. That is something that we can rest in this morning, that those are his desires for us. So let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 and see what it looks like to be blessed by God. What we do to have this blessing bestowed upon us is conditional. So God wants to bless us, but it is conditional. God wants to bestow an outpouring of blessing in our lives, but it's conditional. And this is what it's conditioned on: honor and obedience. Honor and obedience to God's calling on our lives provide the perfect conditions for God to fling wide the floodgates of blessing and prosperity and happiness for us to experience. Tremendous blessing will be poured out because of our honor and obedience to him. Those are the conditions that allow blessing to become a reality in our lives. It's kind of like this. Is there any weather junkies out here? Yeah? Lots of what? No? Okay. Well, I'm a weather junkie. I love the weather. So in Maine, we have what we call a winter, right? You can take that mildly sometimes, you know, sometimes they're not too bad. But usually we'll get snowstorms that come through the area, right? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 inches. And then, you know, those are kind of, we can manage those, right? Plow, shovel, do whatever we got to do to get through. But then there are these times where the conditions are just right and we get what we call a nor'easter, right? We get this storm that develops, we all know, it develops off the coast, and rides up the coast and it just dumps snow on us. Like crazy amounts of snow in a very small period of time. Okay? The conditions have to be just right for that storm to form. And this is what I'm saying to you this morning. I want a nor'easter of blessing in my life this morning. I want a nor'easter, man, of blessing to just, boom, encounter my life. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. That needs the certain right conditions to be able to happen. Just like a nor'easter. The outpouring of blessing is conditional on our obedience and our honor towards him. So let's look at that this morning. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. It says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So we got two parts this morning. First part is the call or the exhortation that God is laying out through Proverbs. And the second part of the message is the blessing. So let's look at the call. What is the call this morning in this passage that God is calling us to do in our lives? This is the exhortation. God calls us to honor him this morning. Our call in this passage is to honor God. Now, what does it mean to honor someone or to honor God? Well, the Greek word is kabod, and that means to make heavy or give weight to. Basically, what it means is literally means is heavy or weighty. But it's most commonly referred to as to give weight to someone. So if we are going to honor someone, we are going to give weight to them in our lives. We are going to grant them a place of position and authority in our lives to be able to change our lives, to affect our lives. So when we honor someone and when we honor God, we give weight to him. We give weight to God. We allow him authority and position in our lives to do what he wants to do. But honor requires action. Yeah. Honor requires action. We cannot just say we honor God. We can't. My kids can't say that they honor me and don't listen to me when I ask them to brush their teeth before bed like 10 times, okay? This is the reality that we have in our home right now. Let's go to bed, everyone. Why do I have to ask you, Jackson, to brush your teeth 10 times before you do it? Why do I have to ask you to get your PJs on 10 times before you do it? Why? Ugh. You cannot say you honor me unless you listen to me. So honor requires action. We could say, Jesus, we love you, but if we are not honoring him with our actions through obedience, there is no honor. There is no honor. So how are we supposed to honor him in this passage? How are we supposed to honor him in this passage? Because we can honor God so many different ways. We can honor God with our body. You know, Paul makes that perfectly clear in 1 Corinthians. We can honor him through how we treat one another. You know, he talks about that in Romans. Paul talks about that in Romans. But how are we supposed to honor God this morning based on what we're reading? We honor him. God is asking us to honor him with our what? Wealth. With our wealth and with the first fruits of our produce. That is how we are asked to honor him through this passage this morning in Proverbs. The word wealth in this passage is the word hon. Hone, and that basically means wealth, riches, or substance. Very simple. There's no real exegetical issue here. You know what I mean? That's what the word means. We don't really have to do a whole lot of digging. And it literally means wealth, riches, or substance. We are to honor God with our wealth or substance that he provides. As he provides the increase, we are to honor and give back to him what we've already been given by him. He also says to honor him with our first fruits of our produce, our wealth and our first fruits of our produce. Now, the Greek word here is tabua, which means product, yield of crops, income, or revenue. And the reason why they use this word, the reason why this word was used in this context is because most people in this day and age, the way they honor God is through what they grew, what they produced, what came from the ground. Most people made a living by what came from the ground on their land. Land was so valuable because if you had land, you had a very, you know, steady, stable income. Because what was coming from the ground was what you were using to supply your life with whatever you needed. The writer of Hebrews exhorts us to give him our first fruits of all of our produce, our yield, or revenue. Not the last fruits. He didn't say, yeah, just give me something, you know, at some point with what you have, you know, just give me something. No, he said, I want the first of what you have. Why does he say the first? The first implies that he wants the best and not the leftovers this morning. We got plenty of leftovers coming on Thanksgiving Day, right? Who wants to eat the leftovers? I mean, they're actually pretty good. Yeah. Reheated stuffing is probably all right. But what I'm saying is, when you invite someone over to your house, you don't invite them to come over when you're done eating for the leftovers. You invite them to come over to eat the first meal, right? God doesn't want the leftovers. He wants the first of everything. The first is the best. He wants nothing but the best of what we have acquired through his provision. So why should we do this? What's the biblical precedent for this principle of giving and blessing? How do we know this is what we're supposed to do? Well, we can just read through Scripture. It's littered. This idea is littered. Scripture is littered with this idea of giving and blessing. The first one I want to point out this morning is Abraham. When Abraham went to go rescue his nephew Lot, he on his way back from rescuing him and defeating his enemy, what he did was is he came through this town. He was traveling from Hobah, and he came through this town and met a man named Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem at the time, and Scripture describes him as a high priest of God, a high priest of God. Melchizedek came out and met Abraham on his way back from rescuing his nephew Lot, and he says, and he blesses Abraham. He bestows a blessing, a godly blessing over Abraham, and Abraham, in his response, gives a tenth of what he was bringing back from this battle that he had. So we see it very early in Scripture, and actually before that we see it as well. People, godly people, giving God a portion of what they have, what they've acquired. And Scripture said that Abraham gave a tenth of what he had. So what is a tenth? Well, we commonly refer to a tenth as being 10% or a tithe. So when we say tithe, basically what that means is it's just 10%. It's 10%. We are giving back God 10% of our income that he has already provided for us. Whatever we've acquired, we're just giving a portion back to him because it's all his anyway. Amen. In Malachi, we see the same relationship between giving and tithing and blessing. God says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. In the NLT, it says this, I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. You won't have enough room to take it in. It's the same imagery that we see here in Proverbs with the barns being plenty. It says here in verse 10, then your barns will be plenty. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Then what happens? Then your barns will be plenty with filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. It's the same imagery that we see here in Malachi. We see an abundance of blessing, so much that it cannot be contained. So much that it cannot be contained. We see God reminding his people in Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament, he said, listen, the land that I've promised you, when you get there, I want you to give a portion of what you get from the ground back to me. Why? Because it's mine anyway. I'm giving it to you. I'm only requiring a portion back to me. He instructs his people to do this through Moses. He says he wanted them to offer a tenth of a portion of what God had already produced from them in the land. He's asking them to do this even before they've moved into the land of promise. This is when they're still wandering in the desert. So why are we supposed to do this? Why should we honor God with what we have, with our wealth? Let's put it into perspective. Paul says this in Colossians. He says this, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Think about that. All things were created through him and for him. All things. Psalm 50, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. It's all his. Everything comes from him. Everything originates from him. Everything we have comes from his grace this morning." So why should we respond to God this way with our wealth? Because guess what? It puts him in his proper place. And guess what place that is? First. First. And it is good for us. It is not meant to harm us. This principle of giving exists not only to honor and glorify God, but it is our benefit as well. We are called to give him the best of everything we have, along with putting him first in the harvest of our wealth. That's what we are called to do. That's what Proverbs says. It's just flushed out a little bit, and I put it into my own words. No, really. We are called to give him the best of everything we have, first fruits, along with putting him first in the harvest of our wealth. We need to recognize that everything that we have, as God blesses us, it comes from him. Amen. Outside of his hand of grace, we have nothing. Right. So, I mean, really. If we do that, and if we do this, if we honor God in this way, well, what's going to happen? Well, you see it right after. We talk about in verse 9, in verse 10, this is what the result is. And we already read it. "Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine." So what follows the honor and obedience? Blessing. Amen. The promise. From our honor and obedience will flow an outpouring of blessing. Do you want to be blessed this morning? Do you want to have favor and prosperity in your life? Yes, Lord. Then all you have to do is pretty simple. Honor him. Obey him. Follow him. Give him the honor and praise that he deserves. We worshiped about it this morning in that last song. That we lift him up, we lift him high. He is the only one that deserves that. He is the only one that deserves that kind of honor in our life. And what's going to happen? He's going to bless us. It says, "Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Let's picture this for a moment. The barn is the place where crops were taken after the harvest. That was the storing place for crops after the harvest. So there's a picture of a barn having plenty, meaning literally the harvest is too much for the barn to contain. And we talk about vats being overflowing. Vats being overflowing and bursting with wine. That is a picture. A vat is one of those big barrels that they use to collect the juice from the grapes after they harvest the grapes. He's saying there's so much, the harvest will be so great that whatever is produced from that, there aren't enough vats to be able to contain it. It'll be bursting. That's the kind of blessing that God wants to bestow on us this morning. That's the kind of blessing that he wants to pour out on us this morning. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. The picture again is being painted in Proverbs of this idea of abundance and blessing. Now that was a lot, that was pretty easy for people to understand in this time because most people, like we said, they lived off the land. Everything that they gained in their life was from the land, was from what they sown into the ground. That was the majority of people, how they lived. We don't live that way anymore. But the blessing that God wants to bestow upon us, even now, is attained through obedience and honor. And we can live in a place of not wanting anything this morning. We really can. Or not needing anything except what God provides for us. Whatever God provides for us shall be enough this morning. Amen. So there is a blessing that has been promised that what he provides will be enough. Can we live in that place this morning? Yeah. Can we live in a place of not wanting this morning? I hope so. I hope so. Because if we can't live there, then God is not big enough for our circumstance. That's what we're saying. So what does it look like now for us today? That's kind of what it looked like for people that were living in that time when this was being written. But what does that look like for us now today? What does abundance look like now? Because we got to be careful this morning. We got to be careful that we don't let our own sense of expectations cloud this idea of blessing and abundance and what it's going to look like in our lives. Because God promises a blessing of abundance in our lives, but we have to understand what that looks like. But we cannot use our own system of measurement to be able to say, yeah, God is blessing me. Yeah. We cannot let that cloud our idea of God's blessing in our lives. I'll give you a quick example. Yesterday, when we packed the boxes for Thanksgiving, there were a couple people that couldn't come to grab them. And we had to go deliver them to their house. So one of the women lived on Main Street in Westbrook and on Brown Street. So I brought a box and a turkey, like a big box and a turkey. And it was just her and her two teenage daughters. And you would have thought I like rolled up in that place with like a brand new car. Seriously. This woman was so excited about the fact that I was bringing her a Thanksgiving meal. She, I mean, seriously, she thought, you would think she was getting a new car. Honestly. And the reason why is because her perspective was, whoa, God loves me so much that he just provided me with a Thanksgiving meal for me and my daughters. Now, for me and you, and some of us here, we can just go to the store and buy a Thanksgiving meal. We can go and buy a turkey. We can go and buy mashed potatoes. We can go and buy gravy and stuffing and all that stuff. Okay? So that doesn't seem like a blessing to us sometimes because we can just go buy that. But for someone else who does not have that financial capability, bringing them food for Thanksgiving was a major blessing. So I say that because we have to be careful about how we view God's blessing in our lives. We have to understand, we have to make sure that we have the proper view of what abundance and blessing looks like in our lives. See, he wants to bless every part of us this morning. He wants to bless us financially. He wants to bless us physically. He wants to bless us relationally, spiritually. But get this, we cannot define the blessing and what it looks like. Only he will be able to do that. We cannot sit here and define what a blessing looks like. So when it doesn't come or it doesn't come the way we want, we turn our back on God. We cannot define the blessing in our lives. Only God will do that. Amen. Good word. This is how Brian Simmons renders it in The Passion, the last part of this proverb. It says this, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing from an uncontainable source of inner joy. The idea of blessing and abundance, that's how Brian Simmons renders it. He says, then every dimension of your life, every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing from an uncontainable joy. We can stand firm this morning that every dimension of our life will be blessed. If we honor and obey him, it's conditional. See, Paul always said this. He was always content in what he had. God will never leave the righteous begging for bread. So in everyday life, what does this blessing of abundance look like? Well, relationally, it can look like relationships that are broken in your life. God can supernaturally bring reconciliation and healing and forgiveness in those areas. That's what it can look like. Spiritually, it can look like time where you and God just grow really tight, where the intimacy between you and God is just like super, like just right on because of your honor and obedience to him. So we can look like that spiritually. Corporately, it can look like this, the renovation. The renovation would not be done. These seats that you're sitting on, all this stuff that has been put into this building would not have happened if it wasn't for regular people tithing and giving and being faithful to God with their wealth and their finances. It just would not happen. There are ministries in this church that serve for the needs of people in this church and the community faithfully. Yesterday would not have been able to happen if people didn't sacrifice and go out and buy food for people who couldn't afford it. 600 people would not be served this morning and would not have Thanksgiving meals on the table if we, as a church body, were not faithful to give and to tithe to God what is his. Amen. That's what it looks like this morning. It could be, though, that God blesses you with an abundance of financial resources and there's always plenty in your bank account. Absolutely. I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless us with money. I'm not saying that at all. I know he wants to do that. But that is not all he wants to do. God is so much bigger than just giving us money because we give to him. He will always provide for our needs. Blessing can look like favor in the workplace, a promotion, or a small business that you've just started. God can pour out his favor upon that through your honor and obedience to him. But make no mistake, if we are going to give in honor of God, it's going to cost us something. Giving should cost us something. Giving should be difficult. Giving should make you feel uncomfortable a little bit. Because if we are not uncomfortable in our giving, then who are we trusting with our finances? Yeah. If we are going to give to God what is rightfully his, and we are not uncomfortable in that place, who actually are we trusting for our finances? Yeah. It's easy to just say, God, I'm going to give you this because I got all this left. It's easy to say that. It's easy to say that. But trusting the Lord in your giving should cost you something. In Mark chapter 12, we read about a woman who Jesus says offered two copper coins into the offering box at the treasury. He was comparing her to other people who were doing the same thing, but putting rather large sums of money in that same treasury. And most likely, probably not being too secretive about it. People love to see other people be generous. So this is what he said. He said, what she gave was more than most of the other people had given because she gave out of her poverty, not her abundance. It may be hard to hear, but giving should cost us. Because guess what? It costed her all that she had. And Jesus said that was more than the people giving large sums of money because they were doing it out of abundance. But guess what? She didn't give 10%. She gave 100%. She gave everything she had. Yeah, you may sit here and be like, yeah, it was only two copper coins. That's easy for you to say. You got a lot more than that in your pocket, probably. But for her, that is all she had. That is everything she had. Two copper coins. She gave 100% of everything. Now, we don't know whatever happened to this woman. We don't know if she went on to gain financial wealth, to be an influential person in the culture and the society. We have no idea. Scripture never says what happened to her. And that's not the point. The point is that she gave. She gave. And her love for God was rich. She gave not to get back. She gave to honor and love God for who he was in her life. That's why she gave. When we give, every dimension of our life will overflow with blessing. Who wants to forfeit that? I don't. But when we do not honor God with what it says here in Proverbs, if we do not honor God with what he's already given us, that's exactly what we do. We forfeit a blessing. I didn't create it that way. That's just the way God set this whole thing up between us and him. And you can look in scripture, it's pretty clear. So I'll end with this. I want to go back really quick to the story of Abraham. We see Abraham, right, give a tenth or give a portion of what he had to Melchizedek, who was a high priest of God, the king of Salem. Well, if you go back to that chapter in Genesis, that part where you see Abraham having this conversation and this encounter with Melchizedek, and you see what transpires in that chapter, then you go to the chapter after that, and what do you see? A promise of a blessing. Go and read it. A promise of a blessing. What did God promise Abraham directly after he gave his portion to God through Melchizedek? What did God do? He promised Abraham a blessing. God promised Abraham a son, and not only a son, he promised Abraham that the number of his offspring would rival the number of stars in the sky. So not just the son, many sons. Abraham was just asking for a son, but God gave him a nation. Think about that. Abraham asked for a son. He said, Lord, I have no one to carry on my name. My wife cannot bear children. Please bless me with a son. But God said, you know what? I'll do one better for you, man. I'll give you a nation, not just a son. And the number of your heirs are going to rival the amount of stars in the sky this morning. Isn't it like God to go over and above our own expectations for our life? Isn't it like him to do that? Do we want him to do that? I mean, we are limited in our expectation of our lives this morning. We are limited by our own understanding and reasoning. So why don't we trust God for that instead of trusting ourselves? Why don't we trust God for what he's going to provide instead of trusting ourselves? Just like Abraham, if we honor God with our lives and are obedient to him, he will bestow an abundant blessing over us. So why should we honor him with our wealth? Because God, in his grace and mercy, wants to pour out a blessing upon us that is immeasurable and beyond our wildest dreams. Think about those dreams you had when you were a kid about things you wanted to do. Man, those were exciting, weren't they? But this stuff, man, that God wants to do is way beyond that. Way beyond that this morning. Remember, we don't give to get. We give to give back what has already been given to us. That's where we are. So let's stand this morning.